And it's just so interesting that every single environmental aspect of a restaurant or your home, if you're a home baker, it impacts your fermentation.
It gets messy bringing together a few thousand pizza lovers for 2 days. We sure tried our best last weekend. Some highlights from the panel discussions at the second annual Pizza City Fest in Chicago, straight ahead.
Straight fry pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get 2 cheesivores and 1 Detroit?
Can I get 1 large pep, 1 large sausage, and 1 large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, everybody. I will say it has been a tough week, to be honest with you. We had a really rough start to our second annual Pizza City Fest here in Chicago last weekend. Not going to bore you with the details. We managed to recover later in the day, stay up all night, and deliver an incredible experience on Sunday. Just too bad a lot of people had an awful experience on Saturday. And we are refunding everybody affected, and we're going to make it right. So do know that we are trying our best. One of my favorite parts of Pizza City Fest always is our educational program. We typically have panel discussions and classes to help people learn more about pizza, what goes into it, and how to make better pizzas at home. One of our traditions has been the Dough Whisperers panel, which kicks off each fest. Last weekend, we had Dan Richer of Ratza in Jersey City. He's also the author of The Joy of Pizza. Brian Spangler of A Piece of Shoals in Portland, Oregon. And Rich Labriola, founder of Labriola Bread, Bakery, and Restaurant. Our moderator was none other than Francisco Migoya, chef and co-author of Modernist Pizza. I've got just a few minutes from their conversation up first today. Then in our second segment, we're going to hear from the gentleman on the Third Wave Deep Dish panel. Now, I will warn you, there was something wrong with the audio mix going into my recorder all weekend, so it's going to sound a little bit off from our usual high production values. We just couldn't catch a break on Saturday. So first, Francisco Migoya leading things off with the Dough Whisperers.
Our panelists here have a bread background. They have an artisan bread background. They understand fermentation from that perspective, and I think that that's something that important that translates to the incredible pizza that they do because of the importance that they put into the dough, the ingredients that go into the fermentation. For example, Dan, I mean, I've had your pizza a couple of times. Tell us about what your process is for making your dough, and you know, what is the day-to-day of how your pizza dough changes and how you adapt to it, and how you got to the recipe that you use today.
I don't have a background in bread baking. I started in pizza and got to bread baking because no matter how good the cheese was or how good the tomatoes were, it was never getting to that place where the whole product was as good as it could be. So I started studying bread making. So we've tried boulish, biga, liquid sourdough, stiff starter, straight doughs, and what we do now is a stiff starter. So everybody knows the whole liquid levain, like equal parts flour and water sourdough. I did that for a solid 18 years, and when my cookbook came out, after it came out, I changed everything. I feel like we don't learn, we don't grow by just keeping things the same. My team is so much more engaged, and I'm more engaged when we're learning. So as soon as everybody gets bored on my team, that's when I know it's time for a change. So right now we're using a stiff starter, which is sourdough. Most of the time we also add a little bit of commercial yeast to the dough. I find that we get much better texture. Because commercial yeast is a very vigorous gas producer, And we just get more lightness and a better texture.
Great, thank you. This question is for Rich. You make a couple different styles of pizza in your pizzeria. And what would you say are the key techniques that set Lavorello's pizza apart from others? What is it that you do that is sort of unique to the pizzas you make?
I think in not copying what Dan said, but being a bread baker, I always felt that bread's a little more advanced than pizza, maybe not. But you try to take the best parts of bread making, which don't always apply to pizza. Especially when I was developing deep dish, I used all my bread knowledge and came up with a very light dough by using an autolyse, waiting to add oil. And when I developed the thin crust, all the baking rules for bread kind of went out the window because you're trying to get this thin, crispy, weak dough. And when you want to make bread the right way, it's just the opposite, where I would never make that stiff of a dough. I would never add oil in the beginning. I would never let it sit for a couple of days that way. But, you live and learn. It took me a long time to learn because I thought that if, the same rules applied for a baguette that do a Chicago thin crust, and they absolutely do not. So we do use starters in both those. We use an autolyse method. And what I found, and I have not mastered because I'm not in it day to day anymore, is all our doughs really work well from the second and third day. And if you catch it right on the early on the fourth day, it's just a great thing. But if you miss it 12 hours later, it's no good. So that was really something that we haven't mastered yet, but we're always trying something different.
Can I inject on something here? Every ingredient, every piece of machinery, everything is different. So the true art of all of this is failing.
Fail so many times that you know how to fix it.
So when you look at a formula and someone's like, oh, this is the way it's going to be, okay.
Yeah, we had our air conditioning unit rerun about a month ago. We had an additional vent put in somewhere in the restaurant. It changed everything. And it took about 3 weeks to get us back to where it was predictable overnight. And it's just so interesting that every single environmental aspect of a restaurant or your home, if you're a home baker, it impacts your fermentation.
Welcome back, everybody. The next panel I wanted to share with you was from the third wave deep dish slash pan discussion. We brought together Robert Molesky of Millie's Pizza in the Pan, Jerry Serwinski of Uncle Jerry's Pizza in Cary, Illinois, and George Bomberis of George's Deep Dish. He was a vendor that day also, and I don't know how in the world he pulled that off. Now here's Chicago Tribune food critic Nick Kindlesberger leading things off as our moderator.
Robert, tell me what went into... you started as a virtual project in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah, in the pandemic in March of 2020, I was let go of my job. For 16 years, I was a waiter. So I was let go. We were actually sent home, but I thought it was going to be a two-week thing, and it ended up being a few months, and I started thinking about what can I do other than wait tables, and I was always been interested in making pizza, so I started working out of a ghost kitchen in Logan Square in 2020. I was there for a year and a half, and then for about a year and a half, been in the uptown neighborhood, I opened a brick and mortar.
How long did it take for you to develop your crust?
Sure, it took almost an entire year to come up with my recipe, and I'm still tweaking it to this day. I'm always fiddling with the dough, but yeah, I would say a solid year every single day, coming home from work and making pizza dough.
You make pizza dough every single day.
Every single day. Yeah, it was an obsession of mine.
Okay, George, let's go with you now.
All right, so my story is a little bit longer. It started back in... with pizza started back in 06. My brother and I at the time wanted to buy a pizzeria out in Berwyn, and it didn't work out. If that deal fell apart. Skip back to, or next to 2013, I tried to open a pizzeria in Edgewater. Lease fell apart. Then went to Vegas, learned how to make a few different styles of pizza, and then came back to Chicago. When COVID hit, I was, like everybody else, stuck without a job. I got my real estate license, and the first thing I did was buy a location two blocks from my house, and it happened to be a Mexican restaurant at the time, but they had a vintage Wajet oven in there. It's about 45 years old, and that's the oven that we use today.
Tell me about your crust. Like, you have a good story of it was inspired by a Greek bread.
It is. So when I would visit Greece, the pizza out there is a little bit different. And I noticed it was all pan. It wasn't necessarily Sicilian, but it was in a square, in a rectangle pan, in a regular sheet pan. But what I found interesting was that they took the cheese all the way to the edge, but not up like pequods and birds do, and even like you do. So it comes up, I try to get the cheese just close enough to the edge. Now what that does is it kind of creates a crust like similar to what that grilled cheese as it comes off the frying pan right before it burns. That's what I was trying to emulate. And I noticed that all these pizzas had that. So when we came back here and I started developing it go, I changed up and started adding a sourdough starter, and because you won't find real sourdough in Greece. And my brother just dubbed it George's Deep Dish. And that's why, to this day, I have people telling me it is, it isn't. My brother called it, so that's it stuck.
Right. But so you were inspired by this other dish. It wasn't even like a deep dish place that you were. So yeah, we could call it not deep dish if we wanted to, but it looks like a deep dish.
It doesn't necessarily taste like a deep dish. That's why a lot of people are thrown off. Doesn't have the biscuit dough.
Okay.
Like a Momati's or a Uno Due or whatever.
Is that a matter of the amount of oil that's in the crust, or?
It's actually less oil than most people think. It's less oil than most people use.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. I think it has to do with the way I let it ferment. Going for lagana. Lagana is a Greek flatbread that's somewhere in between a ciabatta and a focaccia.
Okay, Sherry, let's get to you. Tell me, how long have you been working on your pizza dough?
So I started working on it when we moved to our house in Cary, and there wasn't anything like I was used to. I'm from Skokie on the north side. One town over was Burt's, the other town was Lou Malnati's, and I ate that for my entire life. And when we moved to Cary, there was nothing like that, so I just wanted to try to work on it.
What year was this?
This was, we moved around 2000, so shortly after that, I got tired of the hour drive back to Lewis, so that's when I did it.
So 20 years, essentially.
Since I started, yeah.
Okay. And so you started working with the deep dish. How many different doughs do you think you made over the years? Would you keep track of them, or were you just trying it, and then after a while you got motivated to write things down and make sure you understood what was going on?
I tried to write everything down, and I've got notes everywhere. It drives my family crazy. And stuck to the cabinets, back of the doors, on the refrigerator. We got a wall that's a chalkboard. All the numbers on there drove my wife crazy. But after a while, I got a 50-pound bag of flour from Greco. They allowed me to buy it, and I just made pizza dough like crazy, like nobody ever does. Sometimes I question myself.
You know, how long does yours ferment for?
Well, I use a starter as well. I use a poolish.
Okay.
Not a traditional sour. It doesn't have the sourness of a sourdough starter. So I usually cold ferment that for 24 hours. And then after I add the starter to the dough, I cold ferment it for another 36 hours.
Okay. That's cool. What about you, Jerry?
So my piece is based off of Bocce's pizza, the fermentation process. I was really like the way he fermented it for the extended amount of time and the flavor it gave.
All right, coming up in 2 weeks, we're headed to the second floor of a paint shop in a Montreal suburb for some of the best pizza we've ever had.
So I really believe in the, in Italian we say, Italianità of cooking, which is the customs or traditions of blending, you know, using the best that you can put into the oven. You can have the best oven in the world, but if you're putting, you know, mediocre ingredients inside, you're going to get a mediocre pizza.
I have the distinct pleasure of talking with Donny Melozzi, a man committed to his craft like few others, who also happens to be making some of the most memorable pies I've ever had under the Pizza Frankie's moniker. That's in 2 weeks on September 15th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. Also, remember to support the show at anchor.fm/pizzacity. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.